The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On this week's episode, Justin reviews the Grizzly Bear album Vecatimes, for real this time. I review Highlander the movie. And we have our round two of Stump a Star Wars Nerd.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holm.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 39 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we have a bunch of stuff to bring you today. It's going to be a great, great episode. Stump a Star Wars Nerd is back, so you'll have to wait till the end to hear that.
Aw, wah, 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 wah.
But first, we actually want to bring you something special from someone else. We'd like to introduce a new segment, which we're calling BGN Correspondents. And today we're introducing our first of hopefully numerous correspondents in the future.
One can only hope.
Yes. So these correspondents will be bringing us all sorts of things, basically whatever they want. And today we're bringing you a little piece from Evan Rosenberg, our good friend from Very Thin Ice, and now an official Boldly Going Nowhere correspondent. So over to you, Evan.
Hey, guys. It's Evan here. I know how much you guys like lists, so I put together a little list of my own. It's the top five list of lists. So jump right in. Coming in at number five is Billy Joel's song, We Didn't Start the Fire. Now, I know a lot of people would say, hey, that's not a list, that's a song. But really, is it really? It's a list. It's a musical list. At number four, we have top 10 lists. Now, of course, a lot of people are familiar with these from David Letterman, but they come from many other sources as well. Top 10 lists are amazing. They're really funny. They give you 10 things. I mean, this, of course, is a top 5 list, not a top 10 list. It's because maybe I'm not giving you guys my best work. At number 3, we've got the Bill of Rights. Now, this is an incredible list. This is a list that the government made of 10 things the government can't do. That shows incredible reserve. That's a pretty impressive list. To get a little bit more serious here for a moment, coming in at number 2 is Schindler's List. Now, the actual list, of course, not the movie. I mean, this is a life-saving list. People's lives were saved because of this list. That is an amazing, amazing list. And at number one, we have everybody's favorite, grocery lists. Grocery lists are like time travel for your hunger. It's like when you run out of food and you want some, you write it down, and later on when you're shopping, you know what you wanted. That's amazing. That is an incredible list. Back to you guys.
All right, thanks, Evan. That was great.
Yeah.
I'm going to use all of those lists. Somehow, even Schindler's List, I don't know.
I used the number one today.
I mean, I'm gonna use the idea for Schindler's List. Like, if there's ever another, you know, never mind.
Why'd you say that?
The funny thing is, I'm surprised that Schindler's List came second to grocery lists. A little surprised by that, but okay, not my list. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think
milk,
it's for basically
eggs, kerosene.
Wow.
I think it's because grocery lists are more applicable to our everyday life.
That, I agree. I'm just saying. List. Once again, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I almost started to go to a real uncomfortable place.
I mean, the list should be number one. It should be number one.
Oh, God. All right. Let's veer
Sean,
away from that.
Sean, God help me. That's supposed to be a Jewish person.
What are you talking about?
Look, just as the... I'm allowed to make those jokes because I am Jewish.
I'm not even making a joke. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying
Mazel
to Sean.
Mazel tov.
All right. So I hope you all enjoyed that correspondence piece. I know we did. And if you would like to become an official Boldly Going Nowhere correspondent, now you can. All you need to do is email us at bgnpodcast@gmail.com with your idea. All you need to do is record it on your own, submit it to us, keep all your submissions under 5 minutes in length, and if we like it, we'll go ahead and put it in the show.
And try to keep all your segments in an MP3 format for easy listening.
Yes. You should be hearing more segments from Evan in the future. So.
Yeah. That was an excellent, excellent list.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, well done. Well done, Evan. All right. Moving on into the show. let's start with our music segment for all today's episode, which, of course, is my job. Hmm. So last week I talked about, well, I teased the fact that I was going to review an album that I didn't actually get to review because we ran out of time. But that's given me a lot more time in the week between to sort of prepare my review and think about how I want to deliver it.
All right.
So I'm going to be reviewing an album from the band Grizzly Bear called Vecatimest. So Grizzly Bear is an indie rock band from Brooklyn, although I think it might actually be better to characterize them as indie jazz for reasons I'm going to get into on the album review. So first question right off the bat, what the hell is Vecatimest? I mean, the word, you know, where does that come from? Well, it actually comes from a place. Vecatimest Island is one of the Elizabeth Islands, part of the town of Gosnold in Dukes County, Massachusetts. The island has a land area of 0.0675 kilometers and was uninhabited as of the 2000 census. Anyways, now that you know what the album's named after.
Thank God for that.
I thought that was an important fact.
Really?
Yes.
Or were you just playing for time?
No, I was not. Okay. I just needed to get to this list.
All right, well.
So the reason I describe it as indie jazz is because it's very, very heavily influenced by jazz. A lot of these songs sound like they just started out as, instrumental jazz numbers, and then they added vocals on top of it. But it's not like the vocals were an afterthought. In fact, the vocals are pretty amazing. There's a lot of great vocal harmony going on in a lot of these songs, particularly track number two, 2 Weeks. You might have heard this song because that was the big single from this album. 2 Weeks has this really persistent, pulsing piano going on throughout the entire song, and it's really cool. It almost sounds kind of like a Beach Boys song with the way that they combine these sort of Baroque pop vocal harmonies.
Like, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, it's really reminiscent of, I think, God Only Knows, which is a great song. And there's a video for it online, which I would probably not recommend you watch because it's kind of disturbing. Basically, the band members are all sitting sort of in a row in an empty church, and they're just singing the song, and it's just the camera is just one, you know, one frame of them as they're singing, and their heads and faces start to glow, and then sparks fly from their heads, and then their heads explode and burst into flame. So,
ooh,
that sounds disturbing.
It's a little weird, and they're interesting looking guys. I'll be diplomatic and say that.
Good idea.
So if you've heard 2 Weeks and you think, oh, well, I don't know how I feel about this band or this album, don't stop there, because honestly, 2 Weeks is very different from the rest of the album. Starting right off on track number one, Southern Point, it's very, you know, it starts out with these very quiet, sort of intimate melodies with the upright bass and maybe some brushes on the drums. So it is very jazzy. I would check out, moving on to track number three, it starts very quietly, you know, with a little bit of vocals. And somewhere in the middle of the song, it turns into what sounds like a marching song, like a waltzing march, even though it's actually not in three. So interesting thing is that the time signatures change a lot, and they're often really hard to follow. Like, you can listen to the song, and you think you've figured out what the beat is, and then you lose it.
Sort of like Immigrant Song.
Yeah,
that's a good example of that.
Yeah, I mean, so they change time signatures a lot, which is pretty common in a lot of art rock or indie rock or progressive rock bands. But number four, I would say, is my favorite song off the album, next to 2 Weeks. It's Fine For Now. It starts out with these sort of light guitar chords, and then this bass line comes in. So the cool thing in this band is that the bass is honestly carrying a lot of the melody in these songs, particularly in track number four, Fine For Now. This little bass riff is what sort of kicks off the song. And then there's another great sort of like Beach Boys moment where they're singing, they're singing There Was Time, and then they're singing about time. And It's pretty cool. So I would listen to the album realizing that it's not going to be one of those things where you're going to sing along to it. Like, honestly, with the exception of 2 weeks, that song you will get caught in your head and you will want to sing along to it. But the other songs, because the rhythm is so odd, because it's the harmonies are so intricate, it's not one of those things where you could, where you're going to like turn it on and, you know, and have a whole group of people singing along to it.
Okay. So basically it's one of those albums that you put on to listen, to analyze it basically.
Yes. I would say it's a very intellectual album. The band is, they're really interested in composition and songwriting. And it really shows, because the production value is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting how on one hand, a lot of the production, it has this sort of giant, this very grandiose, this feel to it where you're like, it's like an arena or a concert hall, but at the same time, the music's very intimate. So it's kind of odd that they could achieve intimacy while at the same time being in a big empty space.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like really intricate music that's at the same time still very accessible, if you like great vocal harmonies, and if you like a little bit of jazz in your indie rock, then I would check out Grizzly Bear's album, Vecatimest.
I do like my jazz.
Awesome. The artwork's pretty cool on the on the album, too.
Which is just as important as
it's
the
music. It's an abstract drawing by William O'Brien, who is actually a friend of Ed Drost, who's sort of the front man of the band.
Okay.
So, there's one other thing I want to do with my music segment today, which is going to be a new segment I'd like to introduce. And we are calling it Readings from the Rock Snobs Dictionary.
So, just so they're clear, this is part of your music segment, but it's another segment completely.
Yes, this is an additional segment.
So it's a segment within a segment.
No, it's just a... Well, yeah, I guess if you think of the music segment...
You just got Leo'd.
You just got Leo'd.
Well, it's not like I didn't already have different segments within the segment.
I'm just
You've got review, it. You've got top five.
I know.
And now you've got Readings from the Rock Snobs Dictionary.
Right. You've got a segment within a segment.
Yeah, so the Rock Snobs Dictionary is a book that was given to me as a gift by my former roommate. It's by David Camp and Stephen Daly. It is an essential lexicon of rockological knowledge. And just a handy definition of a rock snob, it's a reference term, for the sort of pop connoisseur for whom the actual enjoyment of music is but a side dish to the accumulation of arcane knowledge about it. So
the more you read that title, the more it makes me want to punch you in the head.
Well, then you should read the book, because it's only going to increase that feeling.
Mm.
Because it's very fitting for me.
Yes.
Like, it was a great gift. I've read this thing cover to cover several times. It's amazing. Like, it seems...
Oh, well, I mean, good.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to choose an entry at random every time I do my segment.
Okay.
And read it to you.
All right, so segment today.
All right. Today, I think we'll go with this entry from the Rock Snobs Dictionary. The MC5. Who are the MC5? Wild-eyed, butt-ugly rhetoricians who emerged from Detroit's White Panther enclave in 1969 to debut with the insurrectionary live album, Kick Out the Jams, whose title song amended this command with the word, motherfuckers. Kick Out the Jams and its follow-up Back in the USA stood in bracing contrast to the hippie noodlings offered up by other bands of the era. Dropping the MC5's name and that of its decadent Detroit neighbors, the Stooges, was positively de rigueur for British punk's class of 1977. In America, MC5 chic reared its head again with the advent of the White Stripes angered new Detroit scene. Any of you guys ever heard of the MC5?
No.
Me neither. But I have heaid of the Stooges.
You're wearing the Stooges. Plaid.
I am wearing plaid right now. This shirt, courtesy of H&M. For all you know, people who like visual references in your podcasts. So
all he's missing is a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah.
He's reading from a hipster book.
It's so amazing. It's
the hipster Bible.
It's an edutaining elitist must-have, perfect for today's snob.
It's like you're only proving the point more, Justin.
Always coruscating. Always coruscating, often plangent, and surely seminal, the Rock Snobs Dictionary will settle more arguments than it starts, which makes this book a net gain for all mankind.
He's using adjectives he doesn't even know the definition to.
Actually, I do know the definition to those words, because they're all here in the Rock Snobs Dictionary.
Really?
So if you're curious as to what the hell coruscating, plangent, and seminal mean, and no seminal has nothing to do with semen, then just buy the Rock Snobs Dictionary.
God, you haven't even heard of the homemade soap or the toothbrushes.
God!
Also, go to www.snobsite.com for more information about the book. But
excellent.
It's a great stocking stuffer if you have really big stockings.
And if you're a hipster, you probably do.
All right.
Well. Actually, they're small. I use my socks. They're nonconformist.
Anyway.
All right. That concludes music for today. I'm going to kick it over to you, Colin.
All right. Well, today I'm going to review an older movie. And next week I'll probably go into the theaters and watch one of the new releases. But honestly, this week I was just far too lazy to get my ass over to the theater.
Also, what the hell is playing anyways?
I was going to say, yeah, I don't honestly, there's nothing in theaters that I think is worth seeing right now.
Help?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a movie Colin would see.
That's a movie I could
in
totally see.
In a different dimension.
Wait, that movie's still out?
What, isn't Harold?
Help?
Oh, darn, I can't think of that. Harold and Kumar coming out?
I might go see Harold and Kumar Christmas movie.
No, I'm definitely going out to see that.
I might actually go review that this weekend then.
All right.
Yeah, I think
so.
It's
out.
All
right. Well, TBA. So, yeah, to be announced. Anyway, today's review is going to be of a little gem from 1986. Isn't it funny that, like, all the films I call, like, little gems hail from, like, that same year? Like, the last time I referred to a movie as a little gem from 1986 was Big Trouble in Little China. By the way, if you're playing that drinking game, take a shot.
Did that movie come out in 1986 also?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's gonna verify. Make sure I'm right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have you. We won't need any accurate. Oh, yes, it did.
Well, make sure the movie I'm going to review actually came out that year too.
Yeah, so Big Trouble did come out in 1986.
It's the year I was born. It's the year Everything Great came out.
And yep, you are, well done. Yes. You have well clearly done, checked Colin. Your facts, and you may proceed.
Excellent. The movie I will be reviewing this afternoon. Or I should say evening at this point, is the 1986 film Highlander.
Nice.
There can only be one movie called Highlander.
There should only be one movie called Highlander.
How many jokes can we possibly make in a 10-minute span? Start the timer.
Everyone is a shot. All right, go.
Okay.
For the drinking game people.
Yeah, everyone take a shot. Actually, that'll be a new one. Every time we make There Can Be Only One joke.
There can only be one testicle in Lance Armstrong's underwear. That's my submission.
There could only be one film Christopher Lambert's actually known for. No, that's a lie because he was in Mortal Kombat.
Couldn't be only one tear from Michael Bay as he regrets to put Buzz Aldrin in the movie Transformers.
Okay. Oh God, Buzz Aldrin! What were you thinking?
There couldn't be only one tear for Gret. All right,
I swear to God, he fucking landed on the moon, and they put him in goddamn Transformers 3.
Yeah, really.
All right, sorry I mentioned that. Yeah.
I got one. How about there can only be one Highlander film? Oh wait, there's six of them.
And there's a series, six.
And a TV series,
and the books, and the comics, and the video games.
There can only be several thousand remakes.
The card game.
I didn't even know they made a video game.
Yeah, anyway. There's a Highlander. It's a one-on-one sword fighting ZX Spectrum and Commodore 64 game. There's also Highlander: The Last in the Clouds, which was on Atari Jaguar CD.
Anyway,
can't even say that with a straight face.
So surprised there's not Stump a Highlander nerd. Because there's nobody who's a Highlander. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, this movie, I will admit, as much as we do make fun of the Highlander series, and we do, trust me.
Yes.
This movie is actually pretty good. I will admit. I mean, it has some really silly moments. the villain is by far and away probably the goofiest moment of this film. Because the funny thing is...
The Kurgan.
Yeah, the Kurgan. Well, I mean, first of all, I see Kurgan up on the screen. I'm like, why did they get Byron Hadley from Shawshank Redemption?
So watch Shawshank Redemption before you watch Highlander if you haven't seen Highlander before.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor, because trust me, it's going to make that movie so much funnier.
For this and more obscure references, keep tuning in to Boldly Going Nowhere.
But,
Nice plug within...
Oh, yeah.
The plug.
Yeah. Plug within the plug. Wah. Anyway, the funny thing about that is his character is just, he's supposed to play this legendary immortal badass. He just comes off as a tool, though. Like, one of his best lines in the movie is just like, he's like practicing with his sword in his room. He's supposed to be looking all epic and shit. And then some prostitute comes in from the dude up front. And she's like, "Hi, my name's Candy." He's like, "Of course you are."
What?
awkward.
I need an adult.
I need an adult.
But, I mean, yeah, Kurgan is actually a pretty funny part of this movie. But honestly, as much... I'm surprised Christopher... After this movie, I'm honestly surprised Christopher Lambert didn't have a bigger career. Because he's actually pretty good in this
movie. I'm sure Christopher Lambert was surprised also.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, his performance in this film was good. I say good because, I mean, because of the material that he was having to act with, it's provided also for some goofy moments.
Yeah, definitely. Me, this is like, it's not the first time I've seen it, but it's the first time I've seen it as a complete film.
Ah.
And it was all right.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. If we're talking strictly from the sense of, because you and I are both filmmakers.
Right.
So you and I look at it much more objectively than we would if we weren't.
Right, and I would have my own book called the Film Snobs Dictionary.
Yeah, like I will admit there are some major glaring issues in the film.
Well, most of it's a good movie. It just has those 1980s cinematic tropes, the pop zooms, the crossfading. Just a lot of the stuff, the cheesy synthesized music.
At least they didn't do curtain wipes.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of music. I think we're forgetting the coolest thing about Highlander, which is that Queen contributed several songs to the soundtrack.
Queen contributed the best.
That was probably
the
coolest part about that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go on record saying that is probably the best part of the movie, that Queen did the majority of the soundtrack.
Two things that are cool about that movie I thought were freaking awesome, and I was the Queen and Sean Connery.
Yes.
Yes.
Sean Connery.
Every time
Ramirez.
He appeared on screen, I want to say, yes. You know, tongue twisters with the SH. You know.
Juan yeah. Sanchez Villaloba Ramirez.
Shik swish shishers.
I'm not Spanish, I'm Egyptian.
She sold seashells on the seashore on Sunday.
You said you were from Spain. You're a liar. You are an ass.
Boy, what? There can be only one.
Yes, his true name is Tuckney.
I'm not going to lie. Sean Connery, excellent in this movie. I mean, it's
I found
sad.
It in my garbage.
It's sad because he's not acting anymore. We're never going to get to see movies from him again.
I can imagine him sitting here watching The Price is Right in his retired home.
Yeah.
Damn you, lady, spin the wheel. Spin it, damn it. Drew Carey, get the out of here.
You know, eventually, seriously, I honestly think he's going to outlive every one of his actors from like the Indiana Jones series. And honestly, I'm going to laugh when he's about to bite it. And he's like, "No, I am the last one.
There can be only one cast member."
Yeah, isn't it kind of amazing that Harrison Ford actually looks worse now than Sean Connery?
That's because Sean Connery is
an immortal.
And he's stressed that he can't find his family.
Yeah, Harrison Ford's stressed because he can't find his family.
Where's my family?
He's got a lot of stress on his plate.
Well, I mean, we say family, but I mean, isn't he married to, like, Calista Flockhart?
I don't know.
Not difficult to find her. He just pulls her out of his pocket.
She's nice foldable.
Ride? Yeah, she's pliable. She's malleable. She can fit in his purse.
His purse.
I'm sorry, her purse. I guess Harrison Ford wouldn't have a man purse.
She's an inspiration
or
to
a satchel.
Yeah,
a satchel.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he had a satchel.
She's an inspiration to Apple. Our products are so thin. Almost as thin as Calista Flockhart.
Almost.
Almost. Keyword.
Yeah. But positive points about Highlander. Highlander is... They did shoot in the Scottish Highlands. It is very, very beautiful there.
Yes.
I will admit, the scenery, the backdrop for at least the scenes in the past, definitely well done. I liked it. I would say that on the negative side, the camera work is quite frenetic, as we've already discussed.
It did well during the wide shots, I thought.
Yes.
And I'm talking about wide establishing shots that opens up and you can see the entire Scotland plain.
Yeah. The Highland.
The Highland.
If you will. If you will. But no, I mean, well, I mean, there are points where you can tell they were shooting with a completely different camera. Like, there was no...
Yeah. Well, you could tell... That's what you can tell on, like, Netflix instant streaming on a very high-quality internet connection.
Like, when we watched it.
Yeah, when we watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably could tell on VHS or DVD, too.
Yeah, it's... And like I said, Sean...
Not as much as instant streaming.
But now. Then also, it's because you and I, we do this for a living, so it...
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I would say also on the positive side, solid acting performances. Christopher Lambert, where he does have some very goofy lines, probably has some of the best one-liners I've heard in a movie, like, ever.
Yeah.
I remember there's the scene where he finds his stepdaughter, or mm-hmm. his adopted daughter, and he gets shot in the back by a Nazi like 50 times. He just pops up and gets the gun away from him. He's like, move. And the Nazi's like, nuh-uh, not happening.
Nine.
Yeah. He's like, nine. And he's like, okay, Jack, you're the master race. He just blows him away. I'm like, okay.
So here's some fun little trivia
okay.
about the movie.
Oh, okay.
The church scene involving the Kurgan, Clancy Brown, was filmed at Augustine's C of E in Kilburn, London at nighttime with the permission of the priests in charge. Still, Brown's lines were ad-libbed, and they were reportedly considered so sacrilegious that the priests off-camera were making the sign of the cross as he said them. Citation needed.
Oh my god.
Citation needed. Wow.
Happy Halloween, ladies.
There's a lot of citation. But just by the way, if you're at home, the Wikipedia entry for Highlander, there's a lot of citations needed. Makes me a little curious.
Honestly, you're probably better off just listening to this review and trusting this review instead of going to the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, no, but it is because it's only four of us as compared to the world that edits the page.
For example, did you know that director of photography Arthur Smith actually filmed the scene where fish fall out of McLeod's kilt, but Lambert's kilt proved to be too short? Smith said, "I stuck part of a drain pipe above Chris's kilt out of camera range and fed live trout down the tube." That's movie magic.
God, he's got it. Like, Christopher Lambert must have been seriously uncomfortable knowing that there was a tube running down his pants with live fish in it.
And why was his kilt too short? Did he show up to work and they were like, "Chris, your kilt doesn't need to be that short"?
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't think he took the kilt home with him. I think they just made it that way to show off his girlish legs.
Right, to show, yes. His girlish figure.
Three little girls are we. Three little girls are girls are we. Running in town with girlish glee. All
right. Anyway,
I wonder if he was ever like standing over a vent at any point with air blowing up.
Yeah, I know the whole Marilyn Monroe scene.
Ooh.
But I will admit, Christopher Lambert, I've seen him in a couple
that
of different.
That lad needs a bit of groundskeeping.
I would say that this is definitely Christopher Lambert's best film. Now, I know most people would hear that statement and not say that's like, that's not too much of a surprise, actually. Because the only other role that people really know him for is Raiden from the first Mortal Kombat film.
He was Tarzan.
All right.
Really?
Yeah. One thing about
in Greystoke, the Legend of Tarzan, Lord of the Apes.
He was in Beowulf also, wasn't he? Or was that someone else?
No, that was someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Thunderbolt. Anyway. There's one thing about this actor that bugged me the entire movie, and bugs me in any film he's in. His eyes are not cross-eyed, but his face kind of tricks you into looking at that way.
Mm.
His anatomy, like his high forehead, and his eyes are kind of close together, and where you see his two eyes are bridging each other. And,
oh yeah,
and if you glance at it real quick, it looks like his eyes are crossed.
Yeah, he's got the Glenn Beck stare.
Yeah. But even crazier.
You know, where he's sort of like, it looks like that he's looking off and to the left.
Yeah.
But he's actually looking right at you.
Yeah, like he looks like if he had a fly in his nose the entire time.
The hell are you looking at?
but didn't eat it like a guy in Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Well, like I said, to be honest, it's definitely one of those 80s films that even though there are some errors with, I mean, there are some issues with the film.
Oh, well, Sean.
The filming itself.
There's actually an explanation for his weird messed up stare. It's because he has profound myopia and cannot see without his glasses. In fact, his myopia is often credited as being part of his appeal by giving his stare a peculiar charm.
I wouldn't feel bad, but
yeah, he's basically blind. That's why.
I would.
You're making fun of a blind guy.
Way to go, asshole.
I would feel bad, but he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
You're making fun of a blind guy. It's all right, though, because he owns his own winery.
No, there you go.
That's it. Hey, you succeed in one area and you lose in another. Vice versa.
Anyway. To wrap this interview up, I mean, not interview, to wrap this review up, Highlander is definitely one of those movies from the 1980s that, though I've seen it 100 times and I probably will see it 100 times more, it's one of those 80s movies that still stands up. It runs the test of time. I'd like to think it will be forever young in my heart. It will
forever
be immortal.
Young.
No.
No.
It's immortal. We should cue the song from... We should cue Princes of the Universe.
We should.
We're not going to.
Or I could just sing Forever Young.
Or I can say to finish this, finish him.
All right.
Fatality.
So.
Friendship.
All right. So now that movies is done, we're going to move it over to Benjamin for games.
Yeah, it's... Today I'm not going to talk about any particular game or anything like that. No indie games. I'm just going to be talking about hardware. The Kinect. I have been recently been doing some research on it, and there's been a lot of new games coming out, especially during the holidays. There's just a shit ton of just new games for the Kinect.
Mm. So what has your research yielded?
Well, Ubisoft is one. It's just been mass-producing Kinect games, all kinds of sports games, visual games. Like Eden is one of them where you just move your hands around and you're trying to go through. It's a shooter game, but you use your hands to shoot. And it's very, LSD kind of like feel.
Trippy.
Yeah, trippy. It's kind of cool, and the music's there too, but from what I've read with the reviews on that, you just mute the music and you can play through the game and get a better score. But
so, yeah. Ben, as I am a person who is an Xbox owner but does not own a Kinect, what could you say to convince me that the Kinect is a worthwhile purchase?
Well, recently... Well, actually, it hasn't been so recently. It's been this past summer. Xbox is through like the E3 and stuff has announced that they're going to provide more content with the Kinect and a search engine, which is their Bing, Microsoft's search engine Bing. So you should be able to search verbally to your Kinect, well, to your Xbox, and search to your games and movies and so forth and so on. So if I want to like look up a movie like Highlander, I'd say Highlander, and it gives me all the options for Highlander. Or if I wanted to play Halo, I'd like Halo Reach. It pulls up all the content for Halo Reach. And then I can tell which part of that content I want to access, either verbally or through gestures, like hand motions.
Through the visual cues?
Yeah,
Cues. It's like you're a captain on the bridge of your own ship.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. And the technology is getting even better. This is just the first gen. I don't even know what they're going to do with the second gen. I hope they improve the camera quality and the... audio quality, because the mic on it is kind of really shitty and the camera's really shitty.
Yeah, the mic and the camera are similar to what you would find on
first
gen smartphone.
Yeah.
Well, I know there are a lot of cool Kinect hacks out there. You know, a lot of people have been hacking it.
Well, they did it actually when the first week. Somebody already hacked it for World of Warcraft. They actually had hand gestures and stuff like that where you can, you know, lean forward, you can move your character side to side, and depending on how you moved your hand, you could access certain spells to cast and target at different characters. So, yeah, there's been some neat stuff, and the Kinect came out of the idea of the Microsoft 3D room. Microsoft has this room. It's called the 3D room, and you put on these 3D glasses, and it's kind of like an experimenting room where they're going to try to do more like a really intense interactive stuff with the home, because what Microsoft is really focusing on is the entertainment and the daily life, and Kinect is that way to get into your house, because... Everybody made a joke that Microsoft wasn't going to be in people's homes, you know, as the center of the entertainment, like Sony was and Nintendo. Well, Microsoft has proven that, and I think they're really, like, number one when it comes to getting stuff that everybody wants on it, because they got pretty much all the current games, major game titles, except for some of the Nintendo stuff like Mario. It's the only thing they don't have. It's just the Nintendo titles, but mostly they have everything else. But going back to the Kinect is fantastic. I think the motion sensors, the tracking is just better than anything before it. I use it all the time, so it's pretty good. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's really good. I think it's worth getting. I love it for the Netflix stuff and for watching videos. I can tell my, you know, videos to stop and pause and rewind.
Yeah.
So
I think it's interesting that, you know, 5-10 years ago, Microsoft was like, you know, they're the evil empire. Yeah. You know, they're the big evil soulless corporation. But now, honestly, Microsoft is the one that's sort of enabling all this indie and third party and really creative stuff with their with their hardware. And I mean, they're totally like supportive of it, and
they're getting more and more open to the people, which is really nice.
They're becoming a lot more accessible as a
company.
Especially
with the indie game market. They offer, you know, how to's to make your own game, so you can put it on there and make some money and get involved into the gaming community.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like the exact inverse of, like, what was it, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
It was Microsoft was the big, you know, was, like you said, it was like the evil empire smothering out all the independent, you know, independent guys. And then, like, Apple was the one who was inviting everybody. It was like, here, come check us out.
Right.
You know, now
it's the opposite.
It's the exact inverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Apple is like nickel and diamond everybody to death.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to get an app made and, you know, you have to learn Coca, and Apple's kind of... They take that like software and they kind of hide it from the user.
It's not only that. It's, you know, like they nickel and dime you for basic software.
Yeah.
They alienate their core fan. I mean, they're alienating like clientele. Like
Remember their entire professional industry. They alienated.
Yeah, like when Final Cut Pro X came out, completely alienated the filmmaking society. That everyone that was on Mac switched over to PC.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And it was their stupid fault.
Well, let me wrap up the Kinect so we can move on to other things. It's also very good for health. I would say out of all the gaming systems, the health, like the health programs and the health software, the health just in general, it just has it. All the other systems require remotes or controllers and stuff where you can just stand in front of this, plop your CD in or download the software, and you can go right in and do some exercising or, you know, do some meditative stuff, which... There's this new thing out. It just came out this month. It's called Leela, and it's got, you know, like a guru thing, and it's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I was using it today, and it was like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know a lot of researchers are looking into ways to use a Kinect for health and medicine. Yeah. For example, using it to evaluate autism, ADHD, obsessive compulsive disorder, using it as sort of a new interactive tool for surgeons. For MRI to sort of do virtual surgery.
Well,
it's really cool.
Yeah, they've got it now with the recent updates. They got it now that it can track your eye blinks, your eye movement, your facial expressions, and your finger movements now. They've gotten it now down to where they can actually tell you
what was that thing about the government surveillance that you have to sign out of?
Oh, yeah, they have something where Microsoft has this little waiver thing where you have to click to sign out of it, but they record a little bit of the audio samples. That's all they say. They just say audio. They don't say video, but they say audio. I'm figuring they probably have video too.
Yeah.
Where they can tap in, they do like little video samples to see if the Kinect is actually performing to the...
Yeah, I mean, there was a store in Moscow that used the Kinect to basically allow customers to shop for dresses using the Kinect, but it would actually overlay the dress over on top of your body.
Yeah.
It's got all sorts of potential with video conferencing, with the 3D mapping, as you said.
As I was going to say, too, it was a fluke how this thing, they were having so much trouble with this. They had just shitloads of trouble and bugs with this when they were first designed. And they spent so much money on it, and they were going to deem it as a flop. But it was just one day when a woman just stood in front of it and started moving, and the people in the lab were like, it was just one of the employees. And they were like, holy crap, it worked. It's just one of those flukes where lady just stood in front of it and it started tracking her movement like a little skeleton thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because I remember when I first heard about the Kinect coming out, you know, I'll admit I was one of the haters. I was one of the skeptics. I was like, it just looks like they're trying to ape off the Wii's success.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think they've created something with far, far more potential than the Wii. And
yeah.
So
let's not even talk about Sony. Yeah. What they're aborted.
And games are adopting it. The first person shooters are trying to adopt it now with Mass Effect 3.
Yeah,
you can give voice commands to your NPCs.
Okay. So we're gonna go ahead and say, just for the record, that the Kinect is a good purchase.
Yeah, it's a good purchase, and it's going down in price too.
All right. Well, that's Ben with games. Now we're gonna go over to Sean for social networking, the TWA update.
This is social networking, and this is called a TWA update. And there's a sound effect that goes here.
TWA update.
Anyway, I have just stuff from Twitter here. It's mostly Patton Oswalt, and I think all of them, with the exception of like one or two, have to do with the CNBC debates between, I guess, Jim Cramer and like Mitt Romney.
Jim Cramer.
Wait, isn't he the guy from Mad Money
or something?
I can't be right.
No, I don't know. Jim Cramer or something.
It'd be pretty entertaining if he is.
Is Jim Cramer?
They kept on referencing Jim Cramer.
Is he moderating?
He probably is.
That's gotta be what it is. There's no way Jim Cramer's gonna run for office.
By the way, real quick tangent. Have you guys seen that thing on The Daily Show where Jon Stewart totally like ripped Jim Cramer a new one?
No.
Oh, it wasn't just Jim Cramer. It was like the entirety of like the financial sector of CNBC News.
Yeah.
But Jim Cramer was the only one who had the balls enough to go on that TV show and try to defend CNBC.
Yeah, I mean that's true. You do have to give Kramer some props for actually taking on.
He
John
nutted
Stewart.
Up for the entire network.
But he totally got stomped.
Yes, he did.
So I guess Jim Cramer is doing the thing.
I guess
since
he's moderating.
Since he works for CNBC.
I guess he's moderating.
Anyway, I'm going to leave the news one for the last thing so that'll spark off another discussion. Patton Oswalt, quote, "I am Iron Man," Mitt Romney, closing statement of the CNBC debate. Doug Benson, "Rick Perry is better suited for handling, Ricky Perry is better suited for standing on a car on dashboard than being president."
Save a pretzel for the
hashtag #bobblehead # tweet the press # the debate. Didn't mean to call him Ricky Perry for the last tweet. #hashtag Freudian typo.
Hey Sean, save a pretzel for the gas jets.
Save a pretzel for the gas jets. All right, amazing soup.
amazing superpowers.
I really got mad at the local health food store, but then I realized I confused antioxidants with anti-Semites again.
what confused?
Antioxidants with anti-Semites.
Who posted this?
This is amazing superpowers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wes and Tim.
Those guys are a hoot.
Yes, they are.
Andy Kindler. Jim Cramer knows what he's talking about. He was on Celebrity Apprentice. Tweet the press.
Can't argue with that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Patton Oswalt. I love how moderators, quote-unquote, call the candidates on reversing positions once they've been elected. # adorable.
Yeah, if Jim Cramer was the moderator, that would be totally adorable.
Couldn't we Patton Oswalt again? Couldn't we power the energy grid off with Jim Cramer's forehead veins?
That wins. That's it.
Doug Benson. Every time Herm Cain says 999, I imagine he's speaking in German. Do you have a plan? 999.
We already made that joke, Doug.
We
Benson.
Made that joke.
We actually won.
All right. So that's the end of the funny ones, and there's one last one, but this is news. Nerdist Chris Hardwick, this RT 9:30 Club at Nerdist Podcast Live rescheduled. Date is January 6th.
Nice lisp.
Thick
crap.
We can't go.
All previous tickets will be honored.
Yeah, we can't go.
Womp womp.
We can't go.
We're in Arlington.
We can't go because we're going to be in Magfest, and Magfest is in Maryland this year.
Yeah.
No, they're in D.C.
No, it's not in D.C.
No.
It's Gaylord Hotel's a national.
It's in D.C. I mean, it's not in D.C. It's in Maryland.
Yeah, it's in Maryland.
It's in Maryland?
Yeah, it's right above it.
Like National Harbor, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. The National Harbor is like near D.C. It's like...
It's near it, but it's not.
It might
DC.
Be near it, but it's not.
No,
near.
It actually is in DC. It's
Oh, is it
just
oh,
south snap. Of DC near the Woodrow Wilson Bridge?
Okay.
Yes, I was right.
Wait, go to MAGFest. Don't look at that website.
No, it is. We know it's at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center.
Why does it say it's in... Oh, yeah, it is in Maryland. Yeah, that's what I thought. It is in Maryland,
it's in PG. It's in PG County.
It's in PG County. Yeah.
But it is not what? That far from D.C.
What, son?
I mean...
All right, now, if you...
We could ask them to... If they want to come to the MAGFest, just for the sheer fest this year, reason of coming to MAGFest.
I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that. Or yeah. We could just go there. I mean, it's up to you.
I mean,
do you really want to pull double duty interviewing?
Well, really? All right, this is a discussion for off air, but
yeah.
Needless to say, whatever we end up doing on January 6th, it's going to be awesome.
Yes,
so.
MAGFest or the Nerdist Live,
we'll be in that area.
Also, something that we want to bring up: if you're going to be at the 9:30 Club on November 26th, Bowling Going Nowhere will be there to see They Might Be Giants and Jonathan Colton live.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, let's move into our final segment of today's show, which is the one you've all been waiting for eagerly with anticipation. It's Stump a Star Wars Nerd.
All right. It's time to argue about who shot first. It's Stump a Star Wars Nerd.
All right, welcome everyone to round two of Stump a Star Wars Nerd. Last week, our inaugural week, we had me facing off against Colin.
Hi.
In a true test of wits.
Yeah, and I guess if you want to call it that.
Sadly, Colin proved the victor.
Yeah. Yeah, call it a true battle of wits, yeah, and I win. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Colin is now the reigning champion.
So, I'm the reigning nerd.
Yes, you are currently the Star Wars nerd, so we're going to see if someone out there can stump you. Is there anyone who can accept this challenge?
This is where I come in.
Yeah, that's where you come in, buddy.
That's you.
Way to go. Welcome to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself?
All right, my name is Zach Patterson, native to Frederick County. Watching Star Wars since I was 8.
Good. Well, let's hope it rubbed off on you.
Oh, I know him personally. I think it probably does. Easily.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since, Zach, you are the challenger, we're going to go ahead and start with you.
Cool. Okay.
So you're going to be asked 5 questions. Each of you will get 5 questions. These are coming today from... the Star Wars trivia quiz found on www.frankwoo.com/quiz104. I don't know who this guy is, but, you know, he made a quiz, and we're going to use it. This is the wickedly hard Star Wars trivia quiz.
So you're basically going to give him the link to the website, so where all the quiz answers are going to be, too.
Yeah, fortunately, it's not coming from this fine book here.
So he'll
oh, yeah, I really shouldn't have told you the URL.
So beautiful.
Zach, yeah. Do you promise? Okay, do not go to that. In fact, close your browser right now.
We'll wait.
And I'll know. I'll know if you don't.
Do you mean...
Ewoks? All right. Are you ready, Zach? All right, question number one, we're going to start with an easy one.
Thank God for that.
All right, let's see. Question number one. When is the only time during the Star Wars trilogy that Han Solo uses a lightsaber, and in what movie?
That would be Empire Strikes Back. He uses Luke's lightsaber to cut a Tauntaun open to give Luke some shelter in the snowstorm on Hoth.
That is correct. All right. Good job. That's 1 point for you.
Cool.
All right. Next question. Who's shorter, Salacious Crumb or Yoda?
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to guess Yoda.
You are correct. Yoda is 0.65 meters, and Salacious Crumb is 0.7 meters.
Ooh.
He's not laughing now.
Good Salacious job. Crumb, wasn't he like the little rat thing that Yoda owned? I mean, Jabba? Yeah,
the Jabba owned a little one.
Yeah,
Jabba's
that's what I thought.
Give me the rat!
You're welcome.
Anyway. All right. All right, good job. You're doing well. All right, question three. Who is the only human to fight in and survive both Death Star battles?
The only human to fight in and survive.
The two Death Star battles.
Both Death Star. I believe that's Wedge Antilles.
Damn! That is correct.
Yep. I told you.
Hey,
if ever there was a, I was gonna say, if ever there was a worthy contender to the Star Wars nerd crown, it's Zach Patterson. You can thank me now, but wait till I wipe your face in it.
All right.
Just kidding.
All right, question number four. What does TIE, as in TIE Fighter, stand for?
Sorry.
Go TIE!
What was that?
A twin ion engine.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow. All
right. One more question. Let's see if you can go for a perfect score. All right. Final question. Whose body is crushed under the foot of an Imperial walker?
I think about that for a second. Is that Dak when Empire Strikes Back?
Hell yeah, son.
Excellent.
You just got a perfect five.
Nice. Hey, Imperials, get ready to suck some dak.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was... All right, great job, Zach.
Thank you very much.
All right, so... That's gonna be tough to beat.
I know, right? It's going to be a tough challenge. See,
even though I want to win, Colin, I wish you good luck.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Colin, moving over to you.
Okay.
You ready?
I am.
Are you really ready?
Probably not, but let's not wait around.
All right.
Do I dare say use the Force?
You dare.
You can dare.
Okay. We'll start with an easy one for you as well.
Okay.
To be fair. Who's taller? R2-D2 or the Ewok Wicket?
That's an easy one. Who's taller?
Yes, R2-D2 or Wicket.
That's a good question. I'm going to say R2-D2.
Correct. R2-D2 is 0.96 meters, and Wicket is 0.8 meters. These figures come from the Essential Guide to Characters, page 16, 35, 184, and 191.
See, here's the funny thing.
Located in Europe.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. That's supposed to be an easy one. Like, I don't remember, like, I literally just remember,
I don't know,
maybe
like... I'm a bad judge of this.
Well, no, it's all right. I literally remember that, like, R2 was, like, just edging him out, but, like, Wicket's spear was bigger than R2. That's why I was getting, I was like, wait, which, yeah, it's R2.
Well, I'm glad that image stuck.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Right?
All right, that one actually was kind of difficult, I guess. So I'll give you an actual easy one.
Okay.
To be fair.
Thank all right. you.
What last name does Princess Leia get from her adopted family?
Organa.
Yeah, I don't even need to check the answers to that one.
Yeah.
All right. Gonna get a little more difficult.
Okay.
So you got two. All right. Okay. All right. What is supposedly scientifically incorrect about Han Solo's boast about the Millennium Falcon's speed in the bar scene in Star Wars?
Parsec is a unit of time, not a measurement of speed.
Yeah, that's correct. A parsec is the distance that light can travel in 1 second. Thus, it is a unit of distance akin to a light year, which is not a unit of time, but rather the distance light can travel in a year. I think you said the reverse of that, but I think you got it right. I'm giving it to you.
Okay.
So, all right, good job. 3 out of 5. All right. Question 4. What is the fake movie title used by the producers of The Return of the Jedi to deceive fans and keep them away from the filming site? Hint, the answer is not Revenge of the Jedi.
Wow. Actually, this is a really difficult one because,
I almost want to answer this one.
Yeah, me too.
Well, here's the thing. Part of me wants to say Blue Harvest, but that's wrong.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have any other answer.
Yeah, say Blue Harvest.
You want to go with Blue Harvest?
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah, trust your instincts.
So many lessons learned.
All right, so you're 4 out of 5. This might be a tie. You were right.
Maybe.
All right. Okay.
I just got through that one on the skin of my teeth. I was like, I don't know.
All right. Final question.
All right.
Who sat next to Luke Skywalker in the briefing scene before the Death Star battle in Star Wars? Who was sitting right next to him?
On which side?
That is not in the question. Just who sat next to him?
Well, on one side was that one dude who said that's impossible even for a computer, but I don't think he was named. On the other side, it's C-3PO.
So who?
C-3PO.
I'm sorry, but that was incorrect.
Really?
That dude who you claim was not named was actually Wedge Antilles.
That's not Wedge Antilles.
That is the answer to this question.
Well, it's wrong.
Are you contesting the quiz?
I am contesting it because I know that's wrong.
All right, so this is an unprecedented...
here's why I say...
I'm gonna put it up to the rest of you guys, and that includes you, Zach. Do you think that question was fair? Do you think the...
Repeat the question again?
Do you think the test was actually wrong? And maybe it is unfair because they didn't say what side it was on. But the question was, who sat next to Luke Skywalker in the briefing scene before the Death Star battle in Star Wars?
Yeah, I believe it is Wedge Antilles, actually. The problem is, it's the same problem as all the other pilots. When you see them without their helmets on, they look like completely different people.
Well, see, that's the thing. Normally, I would agree, but I know what Wedge Antilles looks like without his helmet on. Also, that character... like, says a line that Wedge wouldn't... I mean, Wedge obviously would know that answer, though. Because, I mean, the one line the guy has is, you know, it's impossible even for a computer. And Luke leans over, is like, it's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats. But, see, that's the thing. Wedge is from Tatooine, so Wedge would know that. Why would he repeat the same thing to Wedge?
All right, I'm gonna... Sean and Ben... I'm leaving this up to you. Do you guys think that question was fair, or do you think I should give Colin another one, since they didn't specify what side?
Another one.
I'd say another one, just for the sheer fact that it's just so vague.
All right,
yeah, it wasn't a very good question.
It is actually a very vague question. I agree. Let's give it.
All right, we're throwing that question out.
All right.
God damn it, Frank Wu.
Your brother John's a dick.
All right. Here is your revised question.
Okay.
What alien whose species hails from a watery planet designed the B-Wing?
What you mean, what's the species of the...
No, who was the actual alien? Actually, I'm going to go ahead and make an executive decision that if you can just say what species it is, that counts too.
Oh, God, what's the species? What's Admiral Ackbar's species?
Oh, well, you said it, so...
Oh, it's Admiral Ackbar?
Yeah, because I was asking for the actual alien.
Oh, okay. Well, Admiral
the
Ackbar.
The species is the Mon Calamari.
That's right. I wanted to say...
The question, it was a trap!
I just wanted to say Calamari, but that would be wrong, so, I mean, I'm glad I actually just said Admiral Ackbar.
Admiral Ackbar's cereal.
Huh?
It would be wrong, but tasty.
Yes. Well... I'll have the unsympathetic bitch with a side of fuck you.
All right. So, with a little bit of finagling, this is all tied up. So, that means it's time for a lightning round.
Insert sound effect here, yay. Lightning round. There, I did it.
Okay. All right. So basically, this is, I don't know, if you haven't been listening before, Justin will read out the question. The first one of us to answer it is the winner.
Okay, I wish I had a buzzer.
You just say buzz.
First. It's just the first one to say the answer.
If you guys want to say buzz or make some sort of sound effect, that's up to you guys.
Okay. Well,
that's fine. Between you and Zach.
How about the most annoying sound in the world?
Whoever gets my attention first.
Yeah. So, well, that's... Okay.
Zach will jump up and down.
All right. In one corner.
Well, yeah.
Because you won't be able to see.
Zach, are you ready? I am ready. Colin, are you ready?
I am indeed.
All right. Initiate lightning round protocol. All right. Here's your question. What do Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, Ponda Baba, C-3PO, and the Wampa all have in common?
I got it. They've all had body parts removed, like a hand or an arm.
All right. Yeah, I got to admit, I got to give it to you, Zach. That was pretty impressive.
No hesitation on this one.
No.
And so he wins?
So Zach wins.
Guess what, Zach?
Awesome.
You are the Star Wars nerd.
Oh, well, thank you.
Golf clap.
All right. However, your duties are not over now, Zach.
Oh.
Because, well, since you are the reigning Star Wars nerd, you have to return for next week's episode.
You have to come back and defend your title.
Oh, against... cool. I get multiple appearances.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, if you're good enough, you might make it all the way to... You might make it to the end of the month, and at the end, we're going to bring back...
Everyone who has participated in an episode so far. So far, that would be Justin, myself, and you, and then whoever we get for next week, that'll be the four we end up using, and then the last episode of the month will be the showdown, and then the winner, I think what I've actually decided is the winner's going to win a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And maybe after, I don't know... 4 months of doing it, then we'll have an uber final
winner
round,
winner, of, all the, 4
winner
months.
Of each month
yeah
comes back and they'll get an even cooler prize.
Yeah, how's that sound, Zach?
A bigger t-shirt.
Yeah
awesome.
So, we figure it's only fair.
Yeah.
Yes,
let the games begin.
All right, awesome. Thank you for joining us, Zach,
and may all your Ewoks be without eyelids.
Oh, I appreciate that. No problem, thank you.
Zach Patterson, the new Star Wars nerd.
Later.
See you, Zach.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Congratulations to Zach for winning Stump a Star Wars Nerd this week. But
this
he will
week.
Be back next week to defend his title. And if you want to become a contestant, if you want to challenge the resident Star Wars nerd, just email us at bgnpodcast@gmail.com. Put Star Wars somewhere in the subject line. You can also email us questions or suggestions for the quiz or for any other segment. Check us out on our website, and we've got a whole bunch of other social networky type stuff going on.
The website is castwavestudios.com.
All right. Well, I had fun with this one.
Yeah.
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 It was a good one.
I'm actually surprised. I mean, really, I hate to go on a mushy note for a moment, but... I didn't actually think we were going to make it this far.
I feel good. I've got a warm, warm, tingly sense. Oh, no, sorry. I'm peeing my pants. All right. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Yakimus.
I'm Sean Holm.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.